As I mentioned last week, my plan is to kind of finish up the conversation I started 2 weeks ago, as we've talked about maybe just the vision for our church this coming year, the hopes and prayers I have for our church this coming year, and just what we as believers can do in the church to work towards such goals. And this week especially closes this conversation as we talk about what I alluded to at the end of last week, evangelism. You know, a scary word for most, especially those in the church, but obviously something, as we just read, incredibly important to the church. And so let me start this evangelism conversation, this capstone to this weeks-long study, with maybe just a story. When I was in college, and I feel like I reference back to that a lot, but in reality, college was the majority of my Christian experience. You know, I was in college following Christ longer than I've been out of college following Christ. And so, but when I was in college, there was really one question that dominated my 4 years. Unlike many of my peers, it wasn't probably the question maybe you think of, maybe the questions you think of when you think of folks that are college age. You know, it's always the, what do you want to do after you graduate? It's always the, where do you want to work? Or where do you want to live after you get out of Manhattan? And even all humor aside, it wasn't even the question I always heard from my parents and my aunts and my uncles and my siblings whenever I'd see them over Christmas breaks. So are you dating anyone? You know, what is that leading towards? No, it was not that question that led my college experience. In fact, none of those things were ultimately my concern. You know, I thought about them, but at the time I really could have cared less, because from my freshman year to the day I walked across that stage, God was relentlessly pursuing me with one question. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? My freshman year, as I said, I've alluded to it before, but God put a very specific young man on my dorm floor, older than me at the time, of course, but a young man on my dorm floor so that he could present me with the gospel. And in doing so, he asked me, what will you do with this information? My sophomore year, I wrestled with that information. You know, I had the gospel in my hand. I had the truth of who Jesus Christ was in my hand, but what was I going to do with it? You know, I struggled to determine what exactly the gospel meant to me. I struggled to determine how exactly it was going to affect my sinful humanity. And so again, I asked myself, is what I'm going to do with Christ be a permanent thing in my life, or will it be a temporary thing in my life? You know, am I going to be serious about this? That was my sophomore year. My junior year, I really actually started to embrace that truth. And I think it was probably obvious in my actions. I started inviting others into the gospel, saying, Jesus Christ not only paid for my sins, but paid for yours. So what are you going to do about it? I started helping others process that. You know, there were those who heard the gospel once, and we talked about it, but there were those who were also considering being serious about it. And so I would hang out with them. I would meet with them. I'd pray with them. I'd read the Bible with them. I'd do things to help advance the work of God's truth in their life. And really what I was doing was I was guiding my peers and myself toward a healthier understanding of what God's word is. And so that was my junior year, and I closed with my senior year. By then, I was fairly confident in my Christianity, but there was a problem on the horizon. You know, I knew that as soon as I graduated, life was going to change even more. You know, it was the difference of going from high school to college. Now I was going to go from college to what I call the real world. And so then what was I going to do with Christ then? When I made that transition, you know, I was always told at K-State, this is kind of an insight to our ministry, I was always told that it's very easy to follow Christ when everyone else is following Christ. And what that meant was, it's very easy to call yourself a Jesus person, to read Jesus's words in the Bible, to pray how Jesus would want you to pray, to do all these Christian things. It's easy to do that when everyone's doing it. You know, any week, to be honest, my schedule was built around Bible study one night, world prayer a different morning, hanging out with guys that were in my Bible study a different night, going to our late night, our kind of group meeting, kind of like our little mini sermon session stuff another night, and then playing games with Christians a different night, and then going on a, you know, a date party with different Christians all night. That's just what it was. You know, it was easy to follow Christ with the crowd. But I knew the moment that I got out of college, that crowd wasn't going to be there. And so I had to wrestle with, how am I going to be serious about Christ without, you know, the greenhouse around me that's helping me grow so quickly? Again, I asked myself, what am I going to do with Jesus Christ after graduation? You know, ultimately, will I Will I kind of fall flat on my face? Was I going to graduate, you know, walk across the stage, find a job, find a house, do whatever, and then was my Christianity just going to settle? Because I think a lot of us might know what that looks like. You know, you get out of the good spot, and then all of a sudden your Christianity resorts to just almost nothing. You know, maybe attending church, that becomes kind of the peak of your faith. Or will, as opposed to that, you know, will I maintain a fervor in my faith? And the reason I bring that up, the reason I bring up the, you know, my 4 years of college and my experience is for that same question. Before college, in college, after college, right now, in my season of life, in your seasons of life, what are we as a church going to do with Jesus Christ? You know, I suggest to us all here today that we as Christians never stop wrestling with such a question. Every time you sit down in these chairs and you stand up, when you go home and you leave your home, when you go to work and you leave work, there should always be in the back of your mind the thought, what am I going to do right now with Jesus Christ? Every month, every year, every day, Lord, with the next 24 hours, what am I going to do with you? But there's one aspect, and this is really the bulk of my sermon today. There's one aspect of this question I wanted to focus on today. And really, I think the church has lost its focus with this. The church in general, the global church, the Christian church, has lost its focus and gone by the wayside with this. Really, this idea has been lost, if you will. You know, as the church has gone after seeker-friendly preaching and community-oriented and city-oriented planning for churches, the church has lost this. And it's what Paul mentions here in verse 19 of 2 Corinthians 5. It's this simple truth, that just as God is concerned with the reconciliation of an individual to Him, which is verse 18, God is equally concerned with the reconciliation of all sinners to Him, which is verse 19. So let me say that again. Paul tells the Corinthian church, I was concerned with you being reconciled to me. I was concerned with Adrian being reconciled to me, with Melva being reconciled to me, with Andrea being reconciled to me. He says, I was concerned with that. And so I sought you through the ministry of reconciliation. But don't you know that I care for everybody in that same light? I want to see all sinful men and women brought about to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so here's what I'm going to do. End of verse 19. I am going to give you the message of reconciliation. Yes, I won you. Yes, I saved you. But now I'm going to give you the exact same message, and I want you to go and give it to others. And so what exactly does it mean that he says God has committed to us the message of reconciliation? Well, it's simple, really. God is saying those who have been entrusted with the truth entrust others with the truth. Those who have truly appropriated and accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ will therefore go out and give others the gospel of Jesus Christ. Namely, that their sins were paid for in Jesus Christ. And the emphasis is on the word committed. I love the language. I think Paul chooses it very carefully. He committed to us this message. It's a bestowing of responsibility, a passing of the mantle, a transferal of obligation. God saved us, and in effect, he's saying, go out to save others with the exact same message. What God did, we now do. And so, the point being this, when the Bible says Jesus came preaching the good news of God, Mark 1:14, and when the Bible says Jesus was telling everyone that the kingdom of God has come near, and so respond to it, Mark 1:15, and when the Bible says that all mankind should repent and believe the good news, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, what do you think the responsibility of every Christian should be then? Jesus did, Jesus did, Jesus did. We do, we do, we do. Our responsibility as Christians is therefore to preach the good news of God, Mark 1:14, to tell everyone that the kingdom of God has come near, Mark 1:15, and to call all mankind to repentance. And wouldn't you know that those words exactly are the message of reconciliation that God has given to us? The Bible puts it this way, in giving us the ministry, verse 18 of reconciliation, and giving us, verse 19, the message of reconciliation, he puts those two pieces together and sums it up in verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. I know we all know what an ambassador is, but here's a formal definition. An ambassador, according to the Oxford Dictionary, is an accredited diplomat sent by one country to be its official representative to another country. So a person sent by one country to serve on behalf of that country somewhere else. That is a diplomat. That is an ambassador. And so as Christ's ambassadors, listen here, this is what we are. We are Holy Spirit-driven diplomats sent by Christ himself to be his representative. And so if you are a Christian, that is your purpose in life. Verse 20, you are Christ's ambassador. Your purpose is not to be a run-of-the-mill, milk-of-human-kindness, good person. That is not a Christian. That is just a good person. But that is not the Christian purpose. Similarly, our purpose in life is not to look and live and act and think like everyone else around us. You know, that's where we're most comfortable, in our bubbles, in our spheres. But the Bible says you are not called to exist in such comfortability. Instead, you are called to be a reacher of others. You are called to go to others. And so as verse 20 indicates, God wants us to live such a life as though he was making his personal appeal through us. And this is a very, I don't want to use the word somber, but this is a very interesting reality to think about. God wants to make his appeal personally through every one of us. God wants you to be his mouthpiece. God wants you to be the person who represents him. God wants you to be his accredited diplomat. And so let's look at our lives and ask ourselves, do I live as such an ambassador? Do I look like somebody who is an ambassador to Jesus Christ? You know, I think a lot of times, and this is probably just my just wacky social media feed, but I feel like you see those people who are ambassadors for the most no-name, like nothing brand, but they're just all in for it. You know, maybe it's their own little, you know, podcast they're doing. Maybe it's their own little thing they're selling, their own whatever. But you just see people go headlong as ambassadors for it. And their videos all over their feed, and they're sending stuff, and they're doing this, and it's, you know, subscribe to this, and they're so gung-ho for it. But when we're ambassadors of Christ, how do we act like that? Are we excited to go to people to give them the gospel? Are we head over heels to give people the truth of Jesus Christ? Because we are, in an infinitely greater sense, ambassadors of something greater. And so he says, you should live as though God were speaking through you. And I said I love Paul's language here, because look at that very last sentence, the very last two sentences really, mind the colon. He says, we implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We beg the world on Christ's behalf that they should be reconciled to God. Notice, I call it the desperation in his language. Notice the understanding, the emotion contained in such a plea. God wants to use his children to reach those that are. He wants to use those who are saved to compel those that aren't. He wants to use your eternal salvation to reach those who don't have it. Be it your kids, your parents, your cousins, your neighbor, your coworker, and everyone else in between. And again, I start with this plea that Paul makes in 2 Corinthians 5, because last week I told us all that the world is watching our lives. They make their judgments of who Christ is based on how every single one of us lives. They make their assumptions of Christ's holiness, of his righteousness, of his glory, based on how you live for God's holiness, righteousness, and glory. For many, and I think a lot of you know this, maybe with your kids with your neighbors, with those that you work with. The only understanding those folks have of Christ is the understanding you've given them, or at least you've portrayed to them, of how magnificent he is, of how glorious he is, of how solely devoted to him we should be. And that's frankly, in my opinion, the reason why God gives us this ministry of reconciliation. He knows the power we have. He knows the impact we have. He knows the control and the effect we have on the men and women in every single circle of our life. And so he says, I'm entrusting you with this opportunity, this responsibility to go to the world and be Jesus Christ to them. God knows that there's many folks in our individual lives who are more likely to pay attention to us than they are to pay attention to him. And you know those people. You know there's people that you could talk to them all day long about how work went, about how, you know, the kids are, how whatever club meeting went, however Valley Heights Sports is doing, and they love it. They'll talk to you all day long. But the moment you talk about God, the moment you talk about Christ, they want nothing to do with that conversation. And so God's call is use your relationship with them to live out Jesus Christ, to have a ministry of reconciliation. And that's why I said last week, consider how each part of your life illustrates Jesus Christ. You are Christ's ambassador. Whether or not you feel like it, that's a different story. But if you're a Christian, you are Christ's ambassador. And so be a good ambassador. You know, if you think about it this way, God can't make his appeal through you if you're a bad ambassador. You know, if you reject the purpose to which God saved you, then men and women who need to know Jesus Christ to be reconciled to himself won't be, because your appeal, or his appeal, won't show through you. And so that's why I take us back to what I opened with, this idea of the Christian's call to witness, the Christian's call to share, the Christian's call to be a light for Jesus Christ. Do you see why it's important now? Because it's not just me going out and talking about Jesus, it is God literally speaking through me, verse 20. And I always thought of it this way, if God's message of salvation was worthy for my life, to save me, to call me, to build me up for his kingdom, if it's worthy for my life, then shouldn't it be worthy for my neighbor's life? You know, the person who is, you know, their door is 50 feet down from yours. Shouldn't they receive the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ? How do we make the judgment call that God was worthy for me to give my life in full for his glory, but the person next door, the message, you know, we just say, well, it doesn't really have an effect on them. They don't deserve, they don't need to respond, they shouldn't have to respond. You know, we all know that's ridiculous. Everybody, all knees will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ. And so how are we playing such a part? And so really before I kind of move into the application part of this, I just wanted to say whether we've served as an ambassador of Christ all our lives, or whether we've been an ambassador for maybe a short time, or we're still figuring out what it looks like to be an ambassador, I firmly believe, especially over these last few weeks of preaching and praying about it, I firmly believe that our church is being called to a season of distinct ambassadorship, of being, I don't want to say the church in our community that gives people Jesus Christ, but really bearing that mantle of going to the community, of going to men and women who need Jesus Christ, of letting God make his appeal through us, of going to people and imploring with them on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And I think I feel so strongly about it because if I look around our community, I don't see, for being a predominantly Christian church community, that is the implore of our churches, that is the heart of our churches, that is the desire of every Christian church in this community, that people would be reconciled to God. I think churches have gotten complacent. They've gotten comfortable with we have, who we have, and what we have, and why we have it, and so let's just ride it out till the end. And that is not the perspective of a Christian ambassador. And so I ask us all, do people in this community know you as an ambassador for Christ? Or maybe more food for thought, what do people in this community know you for? Because honestly, you know, I couldn't technically care less what people would think about me. But if people will know me for Christ, then that's all the more glory to his name. And so, yes, I pursue that proper output of my relationship with Christ, putting up that proper image of who I am for Jesus Christ, not just on the outside, but on the inside, as I seek to be an ambassador for him. And so really, with just the rest of our time, I just want to very briefly mention to you, if you looked at your bulletin and you saw the title of my sermon, Everyday Martyrdom. The word in the New Testament from which we get the word witness is the same word, or meant witness, is the same word we get martyr from. Because in the early church, the people who witnessed for Jesus Christ the best, the people who are ambassadors for Christ the best, the people who bore the ministry of reconciliation the best, were oftentimes the people who were killed for Jesus Christ. And so witnessing for Christ became synonymous with death for Christ. And that's why we hear the word martyrdom, we think of death. We think of someone being martyred. We think of someone being killed for their faith. But back then, it was literally just those who were bold enough, willing enough, and really just willing to sell themselves out enough for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those were martyrs. And so my call for today's sermon is for us to be martyrs every single day, to give ourselves for the gospel of Jesus Christ every single day. And to close on that, I just want to give a couple easy, as I try to do, just applications, ways to be that ambassador, to be that person for Jesus Christ. And again, I'll start with the easy one. And I think it's really simple. Just talk about Jesus. Just talk about Jesus. Easier said than done, right? You know, if that's how it was, you know, everybody would be Christian if that's how it would go. But I want us to realize, and this isn't so much a sermon as it is just maybe some practical insights on this. Talking about Jesus isn't the hard part. Talking is not the hard part. Because I know many of us in this congregation are very good at talking. That's not the hard part. It's just what we talk about. It's how we talk about it. It's steering the conversation. That's what we were always told. It's steering the conversation. That's the part of bringing someone to Christ. And so to address that, let me tell you my train of thought. This is how God's worked with me on this. I think there's two types of people in this world. There are people who identify as Christians and people who don't identify as Christians. Now, it doesn't matter if you call yourself a Christian and you're not. If you don't call yourself a Christian and you are, I am solely talking about there are people in the world who call themselves Christians, and there are people in the world who specifically identify and make it a point to call themselves not a Christian. And here's why I view them that way. If you go to people who call themselves a Christian, which is probably most of this community, and you begin to talk about Jesus, what are they going to do? Well, if they're a Christian, they're probably going to talk somewhat about Jesus back to you. At least you'd hope. You know, and probably at bare minimum, here's what they're going to say. I go to this church, and this is my pastor. They might not say a lick about Jesus, but they're going to tell you those two things. And that opens the conversation for you to talk about Jesus. Because now you know their church, or what it believes, or this or that, and maybe you know them well, and maybe it's all that aside. But at the end of the day, the conversation started. And therefore, you can now talk about Jesus. You have that opportunity in front of you. You can find out what that person believes. And that's really all it takes. The best way to be an ambassador for Christ is just to open the door. Because believe it or not, once people start talking about Jesus, they'll usually, whether they want to or not, keep talking about it for whatever reason, be it good news or bad news. And that's the Christian folks. Now, for the people who identify as non-Christians, it's literally the exact same thing. If you go to somebody who identifies as a non-Christian, who has nothing to do with the church, nothing to do with Christ, nothing to do with the Bible, with Jesus or anything, the moment you talk about Jesus, what are they most likely going to do? They're just going to say all those exact same things the Christian folks said, but they're going to talk about why they don't like it. Why I don't go to this church. Why I don't like that pastor. Why I won't read the Bible. Why I don't believe Jesus. And believe it or not, you're in the exact same spot because now the conversation about Jesus has been started. And so you have the two opposite sides of the coin, but they always almost lead to the exact same spot. Jesus is the topic of conversation. How they feel about Jesus becomes the mover of the conversation. And now all you have to do is just share the truth of who Christ really is with them. Share the message of reconciliation that has been committed to you. Because the fact of the matter is, if we have this message, we know the truth. I think there's a lot of Christians afraid to say that, but we know the truth of Jesus Christ. We know he's come to pay for sin. And we need to make sure everyone else knows that too, be them Christian identifiers or non-Christian identifiers. And really, maybe to be somewhat practical with that point, this is what I try to do. This is especially when I was actually in the workforce. I'm a little bit different now. I'm kind of in this weird just vocational ministry, however that works. But when I was actually at my old job, this is how I would pursue that opportunity. I always made it a point that if I ever had an extended opportunity to talk with somebody one-on-one, I would at least try to mention Jesus. Because if you're with somebody long enough and you check off all your kind of conversational topic boxes, much like politics, sooner or later religion comes up. Sooner or later, the name Jesus gets thrown out there, and it opens the Bombay doors are open, and you're off to the races. Because that's literally just how people are. Sooner or later, they work through their boxes, and now it's off to talk about Jesus. So what I would always do is I would work through that little conversational steering mechanism to get to the point where religion, faith, Jesus, the Bible, Christ, church came up, and then I let God take the steering wheel from there. Because he got me there, and so he'll finish the conversation with the ministry he's given me. And so maybe that's just something to do. Just think about it. If you ever have an extended amount of time with someone, just steer the conversation to that point. It's easy. Maybe not as easy as we like to think, but it's just as easy as opening your mouth and saying something. So, for my last part, for the 99.9% of the day in which you aren't talking about Jesus, I talked about this last week, live like someone who talks about Jesus. And I just want to look at one passage very briefly to talk about how to do that, if I can. Kick it ahead. I'm just going to read for us Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And it just says this. This is Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And the emphasis being Matthew 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And so the point is this. Ambassadors don't go to the country to which they've been sent and not share the message. Ambassadors don't arrive with the message to which they've been entrusted and never tell a soul. But like a light, they have a purpose. And as Christians, our purpose, our light that we shine before others is living a life that manifests the gospel. And so I ask us all here, how does your life manifest the truth of the gospel? How do your priorities manifest to others that you truly are an ambassador of Jesus Christ? And so maybe just to pull the living and the talking part together, let me say this. If I can give any advice on how to be a better ambassador of God's word, a better preacher of the message of reconciliation, let me give just one piece of encouragement to make evangelism easier, to make reaching others for Christ easier. I'll close with this. Pray so much that the responsibility to reach someone for Christ transfers from your shoulders to God's shoulders. Let me say that again. Pray so much, pray so fervently that the mantle and the pressure and the feelings you feel about, man, I really don't want to go witness to somebody, pray so much that that becomes God's problem. Because the way I see it is, if you pray so much about it and you give it all to God and you give it all to God and you give it all to God and you say, God, you're going to take care of this, you'll guide the conversation, you'll open the door, you'll save this person, you'll redeem this person, I don't have to do any of it. If you put it all on God to do such work, then what do we have to fear when we go and do it? You know, if you have a coworker that you really want to know Jesus Christ, then just start praying and don't stop. Because at some point, you're going to have prayed so much, you'll have so much confidence built up that God's going to work, that you're just going to go and do it. And you'll just say, all right, well, God, it's yours now. I can't save this person. Only you can. And so pray so much it stops being your problem to win people and to do the hard part of going to people with the gospel. Pray so much and just say, God, it's yours. And then after that, he'll use you. Because the pressure is not on you, it's on him. Let him save these people. So can we as a church do that? Will this year, will that be the, as I said, the calling, the identity, the priority of our church to go to people and win them for Christ? Because that's not only the future of our church, that's the hope of our church. That's the ambassadorship of our church. So again, I ask us all, even just this year, what will we do for Jesus Christ? Let me pray. Lord, my prayer is that every one of us here would be a martyr for your name. Lord, I don't necessarily need or want to see us die for the gospel. But Lord, I want to see us die to ourselves for the gospel. Lord, we all have a million reasons we can give not to share the gospel, not to read the Bible every day, not to pray every day, not to remind ourselves to pray, not to enjoin in fellowship with someone, not to give ourselves more and more to the body of Christ in our community. We have a million reasons why not to. But how are we just going to do it? How are we going to be the faithful Christian you want us to be? How are we going to lay our lives on the line for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Lord, how are we going to be the ambassadors you want us to be? Lord, I pray that maybe as the year goes and we get settled into our routines and our patterns and our schedules and our lives, and you know, we kind of get out of this holiday season and get back to the longer parts of the year, Lord, we just pray that you'd be with our church. Lord, we pray that you'd help us be a witnessing church, a martyr-filled church, an ambassador church. Lord, that the community here, the Blue Rapids, Waterville, Barnes, Frankfort, Marysville, Marshall County, whatever, that every single home in this county would know that our church seeks to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, because we are routinely imploring with our neighbors around us to be reconciled to God. Christ did it for 3 years and he died for such a cause. But now he sits at your right side in heaven, and Lord, we'll be there someday too. So give us the wisdom and the grace to pursue such a vision. We pray in your name. Amen.